but now it's a steal. Here comes Riley Smith. 2-on-1 with Carlson. Smith on the left. He waits, feeds Carlson. He scores! William Carlson! 3-2 Vegas! It's another overtime winner!
Pop music. This is pop music. We are writing and recording pop music. This is pop music. We are writing and recording pop music.
That was... that was Dan Duva, radio voice of the Vegas Golden Knights, on the call of Vegas Golden Knights center William Carlson's putting the puck in the back of the net with barely 23 seconds left to go in overtime of last night's game between the Vegas Golden Knights and the St. Louis Blues at the T-Mobile Arena. The Golden Knights still only have one loss in seven games. Hard to find a better, more positive story in this town right now. Well, good morning to you, and welcome to another edition of Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman, and I am joined in studio, as always, by future Nevada Hall of Fame producer Magnum, who is the epitome of a multitasker. I have watched him several times taking your calls, manning the wheel of steel, chiming in consistently with his two cents, all while watching and actually paying attention to soccer game on one of the flat screens in the studio. He's amazing. We are here every Sunday morning on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, home of the Vegas Golden Knights. We are also streaming on the Las Vegas Sports Network. The Twitter handle is at Adeline, 1340 AM. And you can find us on Facebook. The page is called Adeline. That's O-U-T-T-A-L-I-N-E. Without you, there's no show. So if you have something on your mind, pick up the phone, turn down your radio, and say what you got to say. The Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University on Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. A great place to watch all the games. Today we have some pretty incredible things to talk about, like our expansion hockey team that has lifted this city's spirit in the wake of one of the greatest tragedies in U.S. history, and a college football team that at this point literally has two halves. I'll explain that. You will hear interviews with heroes William Carlson and Oscar Dansk immediately after they made history again last night. And I talked to UNLV quarterback Kurt Palahniuk after another horrific Rebel second half collapse. You'll hear that. We've got all the features plugged in. There's Nightcap, Blazin', and Fact This, plus me and Mags, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal sports betting reporter Todd Dewey are all due in this week's NFL picks, so maybe you should listen before you head to the window to bet. What's on Tap is sponsored by Bubby's University, where you can earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff. The only major is good times. Bring your Rebel ID. Your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day. Yes, that means they never close. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai. Between Tropicana and Flamingo, go to bubbysuniversity.com for more information.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
The Vegas Golden Knights keep making history and thrilling Las Vegas audiences. Last night, they did it again, winning their sixth game in seven outings and are tied with the second most points in the National Hockey League with 12 now, and they have the second most wins with six. Last night's game was the third overtime win of the season and second in a row. They've won all but one game in spite of the fact they are on their third goalie. Marc-Andre Fleury goes down. He gets hurt. The only loss against Detroit is when he went down. And since then, it's been Malcolm Subban, who before this season had one game of NFL experience, and that was last season with the Boston Bruins. But he went down with what looked like a lower leg injury last night midway through the third period, with the Golden Knights clinging to a 2-1 lead, being badly outshot, and to that point, Subban had stopped 37 of 38 shots. In comes Oscar Dansk, a guy that was never supposed to be on the 2017 roster in any way, shape, or form. Before the season started, this guy was not in the plans at all. He gets called up from Chicago to back up Subban, and last night went from near goat to hero. You will hear more about that, and you will hear from the Golden Knights rookie netminder himself in a little bit. After the game, I caught up with the guy who put the biscuit in the basket for his first tally of the season with just over 23 seconds left in overtime, William Karlsson.
So, William Karlsson, what are you feeling right now? I mean, just the whole overwhelming thing. This is crazy. It's like a storybook season.
Yeah, so far so good. It's been a lot of fun so far, and I don't know, hopefully we can continue doing this.
If I would have told you at the beginning of the season, 7 games in, 6-1, you lose Marc-Andre Fleury to an injury, then you got Malcolm Subban comes in, plays great, he goes down in the third period of a 2-1 game where they are really shooting the puck well, and you bring in Oscar Dansk, this kid looked nervous as heck, he comes in and of all things, the first shot goes in the net. What were you guys all feeling? I mean, you got to get up, pick him up, and be confident. What were you feeling at that moment?
I felt pretty confident still. I mean, I think we played great. We helped out the goalies a lot. I know Dansk is a pretty good goalie. Tough to get the first one to get scored on. But, I mean, he made some pretty nice saves after that. So, way to pick himself up. And it shows that we have three great goalies.
The overtime period, you know, it gets to 3-3. Pretty exciting, wide open ice. What did you see there as you came down in the 2-on-1? And take us through that.
Well, I saw, I think it was Hunsie and Smitty, battle for the puck. And then Smitty got it. And I saw a chance to create a 2-on-1, so I just hustled up there, and then I got the pass and scored. So, great feeling, great dish.
Personally, how big of a goal in your life is that? I mean, that's monster. First one of the season, and what a time to get it.
Yeah, I mean, Saturday night in Vegas, doesn't get much better than that. So yeah, amazing feeling. Happy to get the first one.
What's with this team going to overtime, man? I mean, every night, I feel bad for all the beat writers. They're like, man, we can't even get our stories in. Yeah. But you guys are a story in itself. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we want to win in regulation time, but if it takes an overtime, we were going to win in that instead.
You lost that Red Wings game, the only loss you had. It seemed to refocus you guys. Like, okay, we took a loss now, and now you guys are back. And, wow, the last couple of games have been so exciting. Also, the 3 days off. Did that help you out at all? Did you really need a little bit of a break?
Yeah, it's always nice with a break. I mean, it's been it's been a pretty tight schedule. So every time there's a break, we try to embrace it. And I think we did, and we felt good out there today. And and I'll just focus on the next game.
That's the last thing going for.
Thank you.
William Karlsson, Mags, what a huge goal to break through to get your first goal. He has a goal, he has assist, and I'll tell you what, it looked really good. You know, one of the things that the Turk, and of course when I say the Turk, I'm referring to Gerard Gallant, the coach of the Vegas Golden Knights, they practice a lot of two-on-ones. And you know what, that really helps in an overtime situation, which I really love, the three-on-three. I love the wide-open ice. You really see hockey, and I'll tell you what, it definitely puts goaltenders to the test.
Yeah, I mean, William Karlsson, one of my favorite players on the team, just off the ice talking to him. He's a really, really nice guy, really cool guy from Sweden. So we had a little conversation about some Swedish things when I was talking to him off the record a few weeks ago. But, you know, the situation going into overtime, the 3-on-3 is really, really fast. It's easy to get caught up in bad situations as a defender. And generally what you're looking for is you're looking for the fastest guys on the ice. And Riley Smith, who somehow was not one of the stars of the game last night, had an unbelievable game.
Yeah,
I mean, he had...
He's second in points on the team now.
I mean, he had a goal.
Two assists.
And a goal on the power play. How they gave it to that Pietrangelo, the third starter Pietrangelo, I have no idea. But You know, Malcolm Subban was ridiculous. 37 saves he had. Oscar Dansk came in. He obviously was not in a situation. I mean, this guy was playing for the Chicago Wolves last week. You know? So when you say he's their third goaltender, let's think about it. Marc-Andre Fleury was always going to be the number one.
The face of the franchise.
But let's remember, they also drafted Calvin Picard from Colorado,
gone.
Who was traded. Then they picked up Subban on waivers. And when Marc-Andre Fleury was put on the injured reserve, they called up Maxime Legacy. So technically, Oscar Dansk is the fifth choice goaltender.
Pretty much.
He came in last night, made some huge saves in overtime. He did give up the goal late in the third on the power play, but you know that I don't know if that was really his fault. I mean, he was kind of screened. He came in cold, but this team, they just keep finding ways to win games. I mean, two games in a row, they've had a lead late in the third period, have given up a tying goal to go into overtime. Yet this team seems to turn it on in overtime. Brendan Leipzig, another one of my favorite guys on the team, the way he is able to just get into space. He's such a great skater. He had an opportunity to win in overtime. Great save by, I'm blanking on the goalie's name now for the Blues.
Jake Allen,
right? Yeah. And Allen stoned him. But, man, this team in overtime is so good. They're 3-0 in overtime.
Well, Max, it's magical,
and they're undefeated in one goal games.
You talk about Oscar Dansk. A couple of things. First of all, I thought the Golden Knights got a very home friendly call in the third period on what I thought was a goal. I mean, Subban's entire body was past the goal line, and the puck was underneath him. How they did not call that a goal because they couldn't see the puck.
Well, that's fine.
Your whole body's in the net. If there's nothing outside of the net and the puck isn't outside of the net, where is the puck, man?
But if you can't see.
Oh, my God.
No. Here's the thing.
If it was the Detroit Lions, it would have been a goal.
Well, I mean, look at the garbage in the NFL did with the New York Jets last week.
Okay, no, I agree.
But here's the thing. You cannot, because you could be 99% sure
that
it's a goal.
So if they call it a goal, they don't wave it off, right?
I think you're probably right, because there's nothing conclusive to say that it wasn't.
Right.
But when you initially rule it no goal and you cannot see the puck, you can't say, oh, guess what? It's a goal, because you know what? Even if there's 1% chance that it's not in, then it's not conclusive.
Okay. Like I said, I thought it was a home friendly call.
I thought it was a goal.
Based on the replays, yes. I think everyone did.
But you know what? They got it. At the end of the day, the rule worked and there was nothing conclusive.
Oh, you know, and the Golden Knights earned this victory. And I'll tell you what I love is I haven't had an ooh since the 1980s. And when I say that, it was Lou Whitaker. Now we've got Zuban. And you heard that getting started the last couple games. Unfortunately, now he's out, and Mags, it looked like a lower leg injury that is probably going to keep him out between the pipes for a little while now.
Yeah, which is a shame because he's been playing really, really well. I mean, he looks to me, you know, there were questions coming into the season if he was an NHL-ready goalie. I think he's answered those questions. He looks like a legitimate star goalie in the making.
He
seems to, his athleticism, which I think gets him into trouble a little bit, because I think he trusts his body a little more as opposed to the play that's developing in front of him. But man, he made some saves last night and the other night against Buffalo. I mean, he's just playing extremely well. I mean, he's stoned.
Very, very kind. I mean, come on. When the Blues were out shooting them 2-1.
And the Blues were coming in hot. They had just crushed the Blackhawks a couple nights ago.
100%.
I think they went to Edmonton and beat the Oilers a few nights ago. And so, I mean, they're
Chris, the Blues have the ability, I think, to make a run at a Stanley Cup this year.
Well, they have
that kind of a team. I think their goaltending is a little bit suspect, and that
Jake
maybe,
Allen is definitely, Jake, yeah.
Is, I'm not going to call the guy a sieve, but you can get a puck past him. He has weaknesses.
Yeah.
And that
he's not Dominic Hasek.
But the bottom line is they play tremendously well in front of him. They've got some great skaters on this team, and at times it looked like they were playing keep away from the Vegas Golden Knights earlier in the game. They kept getting shots on goal. So, again,
well, a lot of penalties in the first period certainly didn't help the Golden Knights' cause.
Not at all, but it was nice to see the power play get active. The two regulation goals both came on the power play last night, which was really nice to see.
Well, it was they had gone, I think, only two power play goals in the first six games. Last night they got their fourth.
Yeah.
Third and fourth. So they matched the season's output for power play goals in one game, basically.
Well, I really liked the combination they had on that power play goal. Your guy Lipsick was on there.
Leipzig
was on there with Neil and also David Perron. And I think, man, that is a vicious power play line right there. You got three guys that all are tremendous skaters. Perron's got some of the best hands, I think. Maybe the most underrated hands in the NHL.
Yeah.
He is really a good player, exciting. And we're seeing him, you know, those two goals the other night really seemed to get him lit up. We're going to see a lot more. But real quickly, we got to go to break and we'll come back. I'm looking forward to doing a Blazin. There's so much Blazin I could have gone on, but that Dansk first goal to lose Mags to have the first shot go in. Now, granted, it was a one timer right in front. 99% of goaltenders couldn't have stopped that unless they got lucky. But my point is, for this kid to come in and that to be the first shot that he faced, I'm like, oh no, that's the worst thing that can happen. The first shot of his NHL career gets past him, and then this kid plays lights out. I mean, a breakaway, a legit breakaway. He stopped, he made a couple very, very nice saves. You know, I don't know if that's going to carry over. There's no way to judge whether he'll be good or not, but he was great last night when he had to be. It was exciting. It was fun. And, hey, if you haven't been out to a Golden Knights game, I strongly recommend you get out there. Mags, there's electricity in the air at T-Mobile Arena. I mean, you can feel the hair standing up on your arm at times.
Yeah, I mean, I went to the game last night for the first time as a fan. I didn't. You know, obviously, people may not know, but as media, we cannot cheer. We're not allowed to cheer.
I almost screwed up last night.
So last night, I took my girlfriend and my son, and we went to the game. For the two of them, their very first NHL game. And, you know, it was amazing because when they scored that goal in overtime, I mean, I was jumping up and cheering and high-fiving my girlfriend and my son. And, you know,
it's nice to be able to do that, isn't it? I've been able to do
great.
That so
when we
long.
Were when we were leaving the arena, going down into Toshiba Plaza, we were up at, you know, section, I think, 2-something, but... You know, as we're going down, you can hear people in the arena, go Knights, go.
That's crazy.
And there were a lot of people in Blues jerseys, and they were, you know, they were applauding. You know, they were shocked that they lost. But, you know, a lot of the sentiment I got was, wow, this team is gritty. They have a lot of heart. They play hard. They're well coached. I mean, not enough is being said about the job Gerard Gallant is doing.
Tremendous job. The Turk's doing a great job. But, you know, Mags, you said it in a nutshell. You left out one word. And I like the word that you left out. And you didn't do it purposely. But when I tell you, it's almost oxymoronish. They are, you didn't use the word legit. They're not legit. That's the whole thing. Let's be realistic. They are not legit, but they have so many intangibles that make them a team. And you got glue like James Neal. You got glue like Fleury, who's not even in the lineup right now. A guy like Derek England, who cements this team together with his leadership. They play as a unit. They're not legit because there might be one superstar on this team in James Neal. That's it. And yet they play together. Riley Smith is becoming one. He's working his way up there.
They have a superstar in the making in Alex Tuch.
Oh, well, but you could argue Suzuki and Glass are superstars in the making.
But
down
right
below.
Now, Alex Tuch, I mean, on that second power play goal, the screen that he set in front of...
It was incredible.
That's the second time that they've scored on the power play that he's done that. He's had a tip-in goal. He scored a goal
against... They say some of the best basketball players, you judge them by how they play without the ball, without the puck... He's incredible.
Well, and that
is a legitimate.
What's also not said about William Karlsson is he does a lot of stuff that's not really talked about or shown in the stat sheet. He's a forward, but he creates turnovers on the other end of the ice, allowing his teammates, because he was the one who had the pass to set up the goal the other night against Buffalo.
Yeah.
The first goal of the night for the Golden Knights, where he created the turnover, got the outlet pass to Riley Smith. And then Smith, I can't remember who scored the goal, but, you know, it was just a great pass where the net was wide open. I mean, I could have scored that goal. I mean, but William Karlsson, he does a lot of dirty things. Like, not dirty as in, like, nasty, dirty player.
The blue collar stuff. Yeah, he gets in there and
he gets down and dirty. 100%. He's not afraid. I mean,
he's a blue collar player. Yeah. That's the way you describe him. And I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I really like what we're seeing with this team. I see unity, and again, you give the credit to Gerard Gallant, this guy, because he's the one that is mixing and matching these lines and putting them together. But what's so fun is Mags, they win in overtime. And see, this is what scared me, is a 3-on-3, that is when a more skilled team is going to dominate. When you get 3-on-3 and you have more skilled players, and yet they are not backing away from these 3-on-3 situations. Matter of fact, they are thriving in them, which is extremely unique.
And the other night as well, I mean, Buffalo scored 3 goals in the last 10 minutes of the fourth period. Then you look at who Buffalo's sending out on the ice, Jason Pominville, guy who's been around for a long time, really good player. Evander Kane, who I think is just an absolute stud. Eichel, another great player. Yeah. You know, I mean, Buffalo has 3 really, really, I mean, they've got some really good players mm-hmm. that they throw out there in that 3-on-3. And the combination of Neal and Perron, it was like,
as good as anybody in hockey.
David Perron did not score last night, but he does a lot of things that are really good. If you watch him, the way he's able to move the puck, and like you said, his hands are incredible, and he's a super nice guy. And what I love about him,
I haven't met him yet. I'm looking for
him. He always talks to the media. He always has a lot of really interesting things to say. Very humble guy. You may say they're not legit. They're finding ways to win games. And to me, you may not have to. At some point, you're going to say, you know what? These guys are legit. And something Frank said to me the other day, and it resonated because of last night. If they get the power play going, they're going to be good because their penalty kill is fantastic. Yeah. I think that's only the second goal they've given up this season on the power play.
Megs, one of the things, and being playing hockey, you know, for a lot of years in my life, the things that you saw the best teams that did best are puck movement. And the Golden Knights are as good as I've seen everyone they've played against. I haven't seen anyone move the puck that much better than them. St. Louis last night was pelting them. But yet when they had the puck, they're able to get it out of their zone. Their passing is crisp. And could they be legit eventually? Yes. I'm just saying right now, this is a makeshift team that got thrown together. And this is amazing what we're seeing. Like I said earlier, this is one of the greatest stories in sport right now. It really is.
When you factor in the tragedy that transpired just 3 weeks ago, these guys... Right after that happened, I was in the locker room talking to a bunch of them, and the feeling I got was they're not playing for Bill Foley, the Golden Knights, just the fans.
Vegas, baby.
They're
Vegas
playing
strong.
For the entire city, for the entire state of Nevada, for everyone who was affected by that tragedy, whether they were from Pennsylvania, California, Las Vegas. They are playing for those people as well. You see the way they're doing everything with the first responders. Just a first-class organization, the way they've handled this situation, and the players have really stepped up to give this city, look, it's not going to change what happened, but it's giving us an opportunity to heal. For me, being close to the situation, I mean, I just can't say enough about how excited I am, not only as a fan, but as a member of the media, and to know just how much this city already means to all these guys. Every player on the roster... This city already has become part of them.
No, it is really cool. I love what we're seeing. I think it's going to be a really exciting season regardless. And, Mags, I made my decision on a jersey because I've been debating. I want to get a jersey. You know what my jersey is going to say? I'm getting the number 17 Vegas Strong. I think it's a perfect jersey to get for the inaugural season.
Yeah.
Considering everything concerned, for those of you on the fence about who to get, should I get a 17 Vegas Strong jersey? I think that says it all, and it's really cool. Listen, we got to take a break. We're going to come back blazing fact. This. You don't want to miss either one of those. Couple interviews down the road. We'll be right back. Listen to Fox Sports Radio. This is 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, home of the Vegas Golden Knights.
Fiza lost an edge as he was tied up with Tarasenko. Feet out in front. Extra pass left. Score. Blues tie it. The captain from the left wing, Alex Pietrangelo, makes it 2-2 with 5:08 left in the third period. Pareko on the right side, feeds the middle. Here's a chance and a shot. Save dance with the right pad. He covers.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why, this is why, this is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
Hot because I'm fly. You ain't because you're not. What up? Out of line, Fox Sports Radio. It is time for Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, the 215 at North Durango and the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Two happy hours every day, America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. And hey, come on down tomorrow night. I am there every Monday night hosting the Monday Night Football Party. You had an NFC East battle, Philadelphia and Washington tomorrow. Mags, I know you're thinking about taking that one as your pick of the day in a little while. I strongly urge you to reconsider. The NFC East sucks when it comes to betting. It always goes the other way. Matter of fact, I love Philadelphia in that game. That's why if I was going to bet it, I'd go Washington. It always goes the other way and never makes a damn bit of sense. But that has nothing to do with my Blazin' today. My Blazin' today, and I'm going to kick it right off, we're going sticking with the Vegas Golden Knights. Not only is the team Blazin' and everything else, but how about, as you said, Mags, a fifth-string goaltender. I don't know how else to put it. This guy was probably fifth on the depth chart and completely not considered. After the game, I talked to an exuberated Oscar Dansk. It was cool, and this kid is Blazin'.
Golden Knight Report here with Oscar Dansk. I mean, your emotions right now, I'll start with that.
Yeah, it's quite surreal, really. Obviously, like I said earlier, you know, personally, it's an awesome feeling, and it's a dream come true. But the way it happened, obviously, with Malcolm going down, that's unfortunate, and I hope he recovers really, really fast.
Plug and play. I mean, you're sitting there on the bench. You're on this team that's 5-1. One of the most exciting stories right now in the National Hockey League, an expansion team to do this, and all of a sudden, here we are in the third period. As you said, Subban playing really well, 38 shots that only let one in, and all of a sudden, you see him down on the ice, and you know you're going in. Talk about that. Kind of walk us through it.
When I saw that he was going out and I was going in, it was just a million things going through. I didn't know what to think, and I just tried to gather my thoughts and focus on the game.
As a member of the medium up there, I'm like, oh, man, I'm just feeling for you. Being an athlete, understanding what you must be going through mentally, you get in there. The Blues have been playing really well this season, like you. They're shooting the puck very well. And the first shot is a one-timer right in front of the net that I don't think the best goalie in history had a chance against. But still, it's the first shot of your NHL career, and it goes into the basket behind you. What are you thinking at that point in time?
I just let it go. I mean, it was a tie game at that point after that goal, and there's always a chance to win after that, and I just try to buckle down and think about the next day.
Does that get you refocused? It happens, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, I'm into the game now. And then, of course, you make some tremendous saves. The overtime breakaway was a thriller. That had the biggest save of your life?
Maybe. It was definitely up there. I mean, it's this moment was obviously top 10 for me to play in the NHL.
What did Coach say to you after the game? Now, I don't know. We haven't really heard what's going on with Malcolm, but it looks like you're probably going to be between the pipes for a little bit now. Does it change your mindset and focus here? Is it something you've been just preparing for your whole life?
Obviously, it's something you've been dreaming of and trying to prepare as good as you can your whole life. Who plays and who doesn't play, that's not up to me. So I'll just, see what happens next and, work and prepare to be ready.
What do you think of this team you're on right now?
It's awesome. Guys are really great. They're really nice to me and, coming up and getting called up. So, it's awesome.
What an absolutely thrilling thing to happen to a young guy sitting there. Mags, this guy has no intention on playing. He's sitting on the bench just loving life. He's on an NHL roster. He's at an NHL game in Las Vegas. Dreams have already come true. And next thing you know, you are called upon in an absolutely clutch moment to come into a game. And then the first shot you face in your NHL career, the guy right on the doorstep, it's a one-timer. Like I said, I don't know who could have stopped that puck. No time to react. But still, in your mind, you're like, oh, my God, they've played so hard tonight. I'm sitting there. I have nothing to do with the game, and I come in, and now it's a tie game because of me. To be able to gather yourself and play with the wherewithal that he did throughout the rest of the game, that kid's Blazin'.
Well, that was Subban against the Sabres on Tuesday night, because they were up 4-1. Now, some of those goals that went in weren't his fault to tie it up, but, you have to, when you go into that overtime, you have to I've never played goalie at any level other than in the backyard with some friends. you know, where who cares? But, you know, when you're in that position, I would imagine it's pretty tough to regain your composure. But both of these really young goalies have done that the last two evenings or last two nights they've played. But, you know, for me, I'm actually going to go with Fresno State as my blazing. Now, look, they're not lighting up the scoreboard. However, and I'm still kicking myself because I wanted to bet them yesterday against San Diego State. I felt it was a great opportunity for the Bulldogs to basically, they were getting 8 points. They won the game 27-3, just shut down San Diego State. But this is why they're blazing. Fresno State, who happens to be UNLV's opponent next week at home or on the road for the Rebels, they are 7-0 against the spread this year.
Wow.
Getting the job done. They've covered in every single game they've played. They lost two games earlier in the year to Alabama and Washington back-to-back. Look at that stretch. At Alabama, at Washington. They got crushed in both of those games. However, they covered the spread. They were supposed to be terrible. And, you know, I think they are definitely a team that you if you're a bettor, you should be watching them. Because you probably know if you're a professional bettor.
The Sharps are probably all over that, like a hobo on a ham sandwich,
Come on. I mean, 7-0 against the spread doesn't get much better than that at this point in the season.
Pretty cool. Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, a stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital, two happy hours every day, America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. And again, I am there every Monday night hosting the Monday Night Football Party. We give away replica jerseys, wing parties. I'm walking around doing trivia, giving away free rings. It's a lot of fun. Come on down there and say hello. Get yourself hooked up. We do squares. Best Monday Night Party in Las Vegas. Buffalo Wild Wings, blazing.
Facts this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Fact. After factoring in another second half collapse by UNLV, the Rebels have now scored 81 total first half points, Mags, and 9 total second half points in their 4 games in the Mountain West to this point. This might be because of the players' inability to proper execute the game plan. It might also be a lack of discipline. Once again, there were more untimely and costly penalties in this game. Mags, it might be conditioning. Maybe they're worn out in the second half. And then again, it might be because the coaches are not able to make halftime adjustments as well as their opponents. Yesterday, Lexington Thomas rushed 10 times for 140 yards in the first half. And in the second half, he carried the ball 9 times for 21 yards. All said and done, every one of those factors point to coaching. Armani Rogers took a pretty good lick in the second half, which forced the Rebels to go with backup Kurt Palahniuk. Palahniuk has started a decent number of games in his UNLV career, and he was once even named Mountain West Offensive Player of the Week. After the game, I talked to Kurt about what goes on in regards to coaching in the locker room at halftime. And with Armani Rogers in concussion protocol, I talked to him about potentially being the starter for next week and maybe beyond.
Talk about, like, halftime, when you guys are in the locker room at halftime, what kind of an adjustments are made? Because really, this team throughout this season, it seems like really two different teams, first half and second half, two completely different teams.
Sure, you know, we go in the halftime and, you know, we try to make some adjustments based on what we're anticipating. But, yeah, we've struggled in the second half this year, and there's no secret about that. So we got to be better, and we just got to execute better.
What did you see tonight? And, I mean, you know, I know Lexington Thomas was a little banged up, obviously, but he had 140 yards in the first half, only 21 in the second half, and he still had 9 carries. So what was the difference? Were they getting after you differently, maybe gearing up in the box a little more?
You know, we'll have to watch the film and see exactly what went wrong. But, you know, as an offense, we just got to execute better. And when it comes down to it, it's no one person's fault or no one call is going to change the game. So we just got to execute at a higher level.
How about you guys? I know last week a lot of people, how are you going to come off of that game the way it transpired against Air Force last week? Yeah. You came out of the box really firing on all cylinders. What happens throughout the course of the game that might change things?
Going forward, I think we just got to keep preparing and preparing for a four-quarter game. You know, we've shown glimpses throughout the game where we can succeed, and then, you know, there's times we let up, and I think it's just being able to execute for all four quarters, and that's where we'll have mental mistakes or we'll, you know, just have a lull, and that's what kind of kills us. So going forward, we just got to prepare and expect to play a four-quarter game every game.
Well, you're going to be the starter next week, and, you know, they're talking about little starting experience this year. You actually have a good amount of experience playing with the first team on this team. How much is that going to help you going forward right now?
Absolutely. Any game experience is beneficial going forward. So, you know, I'm comfortable with the system. I've got the game reps, and I just got to execute this offense at a higher level, and that's what it comes down to is, you know, knowing the system and being comfortable and just making the throws and making the reads. So I'm excited for my opportunity, and I'll be ready.
Coach Sanchez said in the press conference about, you know, Johnny Stanton playing defense and more linebacker because how depleted you guys are on that end. Now Johnny's probably going to have to come over and take some reps for the offense, and even talked about maybe a two-quarterback system. Is that something that affects you? I mean, most quarterbacks you talk to, they want to be in there the whole time. They don't want to be like one series and another. How do you take the mindset with that?
Yeah, I'm not sure how it's going to work going forward. I'm sure he'll get some more offensive reps this week. But yeah, he's been working on the defense, so I'm not sure how the coaches are going to split up his reps in practice. But I'll be, you know, I just make the most of what I do get and make the most of my opportunities. And, you know, some of that stuff's out of my control, so I'll just be ready whenever my number's called.
Thanks a lot, man.
Kurt Palahniuk, Mags. I don't even know what to say. How do you explain in the last four games, 81 points in the first half and 9 in the second? Does that say it all? Because, again, I've pointed this out. You talked about this last week on the radio as well. Here's the deal. There is no question about it. Adjustments are a key to coaching. And in every sport, it is in between on breaks, whether it's in between periods in hockey, it's at halftime of basketball, football games, and in baseball games, they're always making adjustments. When a team comes out in the second half of a football game, and every game they are dramatically outplayed where they were actually outplaying the other team in the first half, what do you say about that? Is it to the point, Mags, where we start saying, I mean, it's only the guy's third season. Do we start saying it's time to point a finger at Tony Sanchez?
Yes, because the team has regressed. This was a team that was supposed to be competing for a bowl game. They're now 2-5 on the season. They've lost to Howard, which is disgusting when you think about it. They blew a 27-0 lead last week against Air Force. They blew a 14-point lead yesterday. Like I said last week, he needs to shake things up. Somebody needs to go. I don't know who it is, but we saw it. Look, you and me were on the field watching that game against San Jose State.
6 points in the second half against one of the most inept offenses in the country.
And San Jose State
lit us up.
Moved the ball. I mean, their quarterback threw for 460 mm-hmm. yards in that game. And he was the backup for San Jose State. So they moved the ball. They just shot themselves in the foot. Couple turnovers, missed field goal, turnover on downs, interception in the end zone, fumble in the end zone. Otherwise, that's a really close game. Something's got to change. You cannot. And it's probably not going to change this season, but during the offseason, there needs to be some, what's the word I'm looking for, reshuffling of the situation. Because if you go into next season, and at this time next year you're 2-5, I don't think there's a year 5 for Tony Sanchez.
I'm agreeing with you.
And I hate to say that because I really like Coach Sanchez.
Max, you cannot, we talked about it earlier.
The team is regressing. The defense, year 3, has not even shown a bit of improvement. Granted, there's individual players in positions who were better than what was here when he first got here. But as a unit, the defense is vulnerable. They were
the worst cover 3 defense I have ever seen in my life. You should never have somebody get that far behind your zone when you are in cover 3 ever.
Well,
and it's putrid, brother. It
when you
is
go back,
putrid.
You go back to last week. If you lose that game to Air Force 34-30, but it's 7-7, 17-14.
It's a battle back and forth.
Then it's acceptable. Yeah. You're like, you know what? They had trouble with the option. Air Force runs a gimmicky offense. Defense got tired. Elevation. When you're up 27-0 and you score 3 points the rest of the game, when you have the breakdown that you did before the half, you get three turnovers in Air Force territory. You cannot score. Yesterday against, I don't want to say a decent Utah State team, a Utah State team that may or may not be bowl eligible, but they're not a good team.
Mags, defensively, they're a weak team.
And now,
statistically, and now they shut UNLV out.
Like I said last
week, half.
I don't think they win another game this year, and I hate to say it, because next week they go to Fresno. Fresno, obviously, a lot better than everyone thought they were going to be, and I think
they're going to beat Hawaii at home.
Maybe
they
better figure out the defensive.
They're going to beat Hawaii.
Deficiencies. Otherwise, Hawaii is going to throw the ball over.
I'll tell you, it's got to get better in a hurry. As you said, next week they go to Fresno. This schedule really is not very friendly for them. And Tony Sanchez cannot finish the season with two wins, though. I'm going to give him the Hawaii win, and maybe they'll find a way to win up at Reno, although that is going to be no cakewalk. Listen, you're listening to Out of Line. We will come back. We're going to talk some baseball. Obviously, the World Series is set. I think it's going to be a spectacular World Series. I really do. And, of course, we got the NFL Week 7 coming up. We'll talk about our picks and that when you get back. You're listening Out of Line. This is Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, home of the Vegas Golden Knights.
I don't know, man. I'm so excited right now. We've been working really hard for this, and what made me happy is to see all my guys right there celebrating, because it's a lot of tears behind this, and I think we deserve it.
This is what the game's all about. This is what you grow up dreaming about as a player, as a young kid playing Little League. I mean, to be in these situations and to thrive in them, I mean, it's just an unbelievable experience. It's a dream come true, man. It's a dream come true. It's what we envisioned going into spring training. We knew we had the team to accomplish it. We just put the pieces together in order for us to be here nowadays.
We've just been resilient all year. We really have. We played great baseball from day one. And, this is a really close bunch of guys. And I think that in the end, that played a huge role.
Yeah, that you just heard from Houston Astros. That was Jose Altuve, Justin Verlander, Carlos Correa, and, of course, the old Yankee catcher Brian McCann, who went 2-for-4 and helped put a dagger into his old team. Houston just wasn't going to be denied. And, Mags, we were talking about it with Mark Sedell before the show started. And the one thing with these Astros, I said this before and I've said this, and I'll say it again, the Astros, what makes them so special and one of the best teams in baseball is they are so well coached and they are so analytical. Their studying is unbelievable. The Yankees, what they exposed in the postseason was the Yankees could not hit curveballs. They were struggling. And do you know that they closed, that I believe McCullers closed the game with 24 straight curveballs to end the game. Aaron Judge, as good as he played, I mean, this kid, I love him. A lot of people love this kid. I mean, how can you not? Big home runs, a dynamic personality, made two in this playoffs, two postseason home run where he robbed homers yesterday. Yulia Urio, I mean, my God in heaven, man, that was a great catch. But then Judge goes ahead and strikes out for the 27th time, the most by a single player in postseason history. And there is nobody, Mags, nobody, and correct me if I'm wrong, when is the last time, and you give me the name of somebody that has been as clutch as Jose Altuve in clutch situations?
Well, I mean, if we're just talking baseball, how about Derek Jeter? I mean, that guy was basically built for clutch situations.
I'm a huge Jeter fan. So.
But, I mean, Tom Brady is clutch. Joe Montana was clutch. But Altuve he's the MVP. Whether or not he gets it is another story. He's the best player in the American League on the best team. He deserves to
get.
Do you
know, Mags, that no one's ever carried a player off a field in a championship series before? And his teammates picked him up and carried him because during the postseason when they needed the big hit, he carried them.
Well,
and he's a guy that can 5'6" on his tiptoes, and he can carry a major league franchise. He is that good. He's that dynamic. And I'll tell you, the Keystone Cops right now, him and Correa, is there a better offensive and defensive duo combined than those two in baseball
right
now?
No, I mean, they are the best second base shortstop combination in baseball. Correa, different kind of hitter than Altuve, but Altuve does it all. I mean, he is a guy who if you love the game of baseball, you love Jose Altuve.
How can you not love that guy?
He's like 5'6". It's like every time the guy comes up to bat, I feel like I'm watching the Little League World Series. You know, there's that picture of him standing next to Judge.
But with power, 5 home runs. Do you know that he already, there's potentially 7 games left. This guy has 5 home runs. He's already tied for the second most in Houston Astros history. I mean, that is incredible. And he's still got 7 games to play. He had 3 in the opener of the postseason.
Yeah.
This guy is magical. He's a special talent. He's a lot of fun to watch. And Chris, like you said, if you like the sport of baseball, I don't care if the Astros are your most hated team. If you don't like this guy, you really don't like the sport of baseball. You just don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you can not like the Dodgers, but appreciate every time Clayton Kershaw goes out to pitch. I mean, he's a throwback.
I hated the Chicago Bulls, but come on. I loved watching Michael Jordan play basketball.
It's the same type of thing. I mean, I don't really have any love for the Cleveland Cavaliers, but every time I watch LeBron James, I'm like, this guy's freaking amazing. Yeah,
he's
know, I mean, there are certain athletes and players who I think transcend the sport. You know, Michael Jordan was one. Obviously, LeBron James is another. Derek Jeter was one of those guys. Jose Altuve, especially if the Astros can go on and win the World Series, he's on his way to becoming an iconic athlete in my lifetime. Just because his stature, he's a very small guy, he plays hard, he's a good player, by all accounts, a good guy. I mean, I don't know, in a professional sense,
he's a freak of nature. He is.
Yeah, I mean, he should not be as good as he is, but he is.
He is. And I'll tell you, pretty exciting. The last thing I want to say before we stop talking about baseball is, I got to take my hat off to an ex-Tiger, Justin Verlander. Mags, I don't know. I mean, I can imagine having Kate Upton as a girlfriend definitely motivates you to play baseball. But this guy is in his upper 30s. That arm has been torqued on for years. And look at what he is doing in the postseason for the Astros. A complete game. His first one in the postseason since 2012. I believe 2 nights ago, he could have pitched a complete game as well. I started getting worried. I was watching the game with a friend, and I'm getting worried that they took him out too soon for their part. Now, the friend was pulling for New York, but I wanted, just because I love Justin Verlander, but hats off to him. ALCS MVP, and that says a lot when you have Altuve on the team and you're giving it to a pitcher who isn't an everyday guy, but that is how valuable and important Justin Verlander is to this Houston Astros bid for a World Series championship.
Well, yeah, I mean, and the thing is, it's like, look, they went out and they traded for Verlander just for this situation. I'd say even if they don't re-sign him, mission accomplished. He's done everything that they've needed him to do, and
They'll probably re-sign him. I think everyone likes looking at Kate Upton up in the owner's box, too. So there's a couple reasons.
Touché.
Listen, we're almost out of time, so we got to do our picks real quick. I didn't get Dewey's pick. I will get it and give it to you next week, as long as he picks 4 of the games. Mags, I went with Cleveland last week. It was a huge mistake. I'm bringing up the flipping rear with a 2-4 record. I'm going with Cleveland again because what I decided to do was, what game do I hate the most and I think is going to go one way? I love Tennessee giving 6 points in this game. Mariota's back. That's why I'm going to go the other way and take the home dog in the Browns, because conventional wisdom is not working these days. So I'm going that route. Who you got, brother?
I'm going with the New England Patriots laying 3 to the Atlanta Falcons. Not a revenge game, obviously, but it is a revenge game for Atlanta. I still think New England's better. Tom Brady, they got a wake-up call last week against the Jets. They should have lost that game. If they don't get on track this week, there may be some questions. I like New England laying the 3 at home Sunday night, rematch of the Super Bowl. I just think they're going to get the job done.
I love New England, too, and I almost went the other way only because of that, where I think Atlanta's going
to
win that game.
I gave
him
a kiss of death.
You might have, and the thing is Atlanta's got a decent defense. New England has no defense, and I think Atlanta lights them up. Listen, we're out of time. It's out of line. We are here every Sunday morning, same time, same place, 8 to 9 a.m., Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 a.m., home of the Vegas Golden Knights. I want to thank everyone who got on the show today, the Golden Knights that were on the show. Want to thank Mags. Want to thank Kurt Palahniuk. Hey, if you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't like it, tell them anyways. We'll see you next week.